Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I'm too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to, and all three of us are back together for Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, I really am so happy to be here.
Me too. This feels right. It's been too long. What the fuck is wrong with us, you guys?
I gotta say, though, Emily and Joel, you held down the fort really well.
Thank you.
I'm gonna watch that movie. I'm sold. And I loved hearing the little clips of the music.
Thank you. No, we did have fun. I feel very glad that you enjoyed it. And I hope that people enjoyed it. And, man, we just talk too much. And I realized what it is. I told him, I was like, you'd think it'd be the chat up front that would be, we were talking too much. No, it's the recap portion that's too long. And it's because I'm incapable of not expressing to Joel every stupid thought that comes to my head. I'm somehow able to like rein it in a little bit more with anybody else. I'm just not used to not telling him every stupid thought I have. So it makes the episodes really long. And I'm sorry about that.
I feel like we got so many comments, though, that were like, 9 more hours.
Well, I cut a lot of stuff out. So.
Release the unedited version. Emily's version.
Emily's version.
Emily's version. Maybe someday. But no, I'm very, this feels right. You know,
this feels good. Feels good to be back. Feels like home. My two loves on this most romantic day of the year.
Also, it's Ash Wednesday. No one cares about that, but Ash Wednesday is like that's like the least romantic day of the year if you're
a
Christian.
Is that where you wear ashes on your forehead in a cross?
Yeah, and it's
when we
Lent
give
begins.
Something up for Lent. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to give something up on Valentine's Day.
Can you believe that is really rude.
That is really rude. Because a lot of people give up like sugar.
I know. And so
it wouldn't always be on Valentine's Day. It's whatever Wednesday is. No. But this year it is unfortunate. You're going to have to get your Valentine's Day chocolate in ahead of time, which if you're listening to this is in the past.
Too late. But hey, if you're not giving up sugar for Lent, go for it, baby. They are slow is what I just said. Also, already have Sammy knows this because I sent her a text, Easter candy at.
Whoa.
The store on shelves now. Easter
my favorite
in February. So I almost bought some. Was like, I cannot start, but I did buy Valentine's chocolate.
The Cadbury eggs start now. Starts right now.
They start now, and it starts right now. It's gonna be a long Easter season.
Yeah, I ain't giving up shit for Lent. Not me. We got a patron chosen episode today for you guys. Woo! And it's going to be a fun one. I think I had a great time with this silly little movie.
Oh, I love these adjectives. Love them on this day of love.
And if you guys want to jump straight to that recap, you've got timestamps in the episode description. Because first I got to ask you guys if anything scary happened to you this week.
Well, the main thing was that you visited me and then you left.
Yeah, it was scary to leave.
That's scary.
She left. Can you believe?
That's fucked up.
She could have just stayed if she wanted to.
You could have just stayed if we're really going to get into it.
But I was so glad that we got COVID the week before you came.
Yeah.
Because that would have been terrible.
Mm-hmm. Got that out of the way.
Tim got COVID. He had to isolate, quarantine. I had to solo parent, which is so hard.
Oh my God. I honestly do. I don't know how two people do it, but how does one person do it?
I've said it once. I'll say it a million times. Now I completely understand why all those 1950s housewives were addicted to pills and like drinking all day long. Obviously, you know, it's not that bad, but I have so much help. I have so much help. I can't imagine if I was, there are women who can do this. I'm not one of them, who can just like be at home all day, every day, with a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old. Like, what?
Are there people who can do this?
I guess
I simply don't believe it.
I know. It's like not okay. So also
it's not right.
Part of what made it difficult is because we couldn't really go anywhere because obviously I didn't want to I wanted to make sure like we didn't have COVID and give it to anyone else by accident or anything. So, and it's cold outside, so there's nothing really to do outside. So we were just trapped.
I hate it when I'm trapped inside just with me as myself and a grown up. And I can't imagine it.
It's hard. But we turned the corner. We haven't had any sicknesses since COVID 2 weeks ago. We made almost 2 weeks.
Oh my God,
weeks.
2 whole weeks?
You got one of those like this many days without an accident sign.
Oh, you should get one of those. Would that be helpful or hurtful? Helpful or hurtful? I don't know.
It would be helpful, actually, because I think that it would put me in the mindset of like being grateful and also on edge instead of just pretending like
it reminds you to be a little scared.
Yes, exactly. Because
while holding on to gratitude,
I put it out of my mind immediately. It's over. It's like it never happened. Never happened. I'm not thinking about
it
again.
It will never happen again.
It will never happen again. Yeah. So that's been tough. And I don't know. That's all. I have nothing interesting to talk about. You guys tell me. Tell me about your lives.
That was interesting. I will say we had a really funny, fun little moment where you guys were together and I was out and I was a little bit drunk and you guys were together and you were a little bit drunk. And I thought what I should do is FaceTime them. And I FaceTimed you guys and you answered. And I was in a loud restaurant. Couldn't hear you. Couldn't hear a thing. You guys were in the pitch black back seat of the cab. Couldn't see you. So we FaceTimed for like 2 minutes where we couldn't see or hear anything anybody was saying. And it was really special. And it made me very happy.
Sammy and I had 3 espresso martinis that night.
That's a lot of espresso martinis.
I was like fully sober. And I think that it's because the martini is a lot of espresso. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It basically completely counteracts.
Totally cancels each other out.
Yeah. It's like how when you ever have like alcohol with like soda water, it's your
hydrating.
You're not drinking alcohol. You're just hydrating. Yeah. Hot tip.
I also took a big risk and bought tickets for me and Sammy while she was here. And we saw Merrily We Roll Along. And it was a risk because, you know, Sammy hates music. So I wasn't sure how she was going to react. I wasn't sure if she was going to hate it. They started singing in the first 5 seconds and I thought, oh no, no,
she stormed out.
Oh no, she's still here. But it's starring Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, so. We saw Harry Potter in the flesh.
Oh my God, you can't storm out on Daniel.
No, I would never. So good. So Sammy, tell everyone what you told me.
I loved it. I got full body chills when they started their first song.
Wow.
I was so relieved.
I can't remember if we talked about this on the pod or not, but Emily and I recently went to see Mamma Mia.
We did.
And it was one of the worst stage productions I've ever seen.
It was absolute chaos. And this was the touring Broadway cat. This was not like, you know, we just happened upon a Mamma Mia show. This should have been.
That's what it felt like.
Good. It did feel as if they were like, a really good, the best high school performance of Mamma Mia you've ever seen. You'd be like, those kids are really good.
Wait, I didn't know that. I thought it was like a local LA production of Mamma Mia. I didn't realize it was the Broadway
touring cast of Mamma Mia.
Oh my God.
It was so bad. But I mean, I love ABBA. I love Mamma Mia the movie.
We had fun.
And so we still had a great time. But just like having that be my last musical that I went to, the difference, the discrepancy was, it was jarring. It was like shocking.
You get a little scared?
I was just like, this is so good.
Yeah.
These people are professionals on Broadway.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. They were so, so, so good.
You gotta be good. You gotta be good for that. I'm so glad you guys were together. It really made me so happy. If I couldn't be there, I'm glad that you were, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really nice. A scary thing that happened to me, I guess, was on my flight back. I had a layover because I used points, and so it was free to do this flight with the layover. But a layover to New York is so dumb.
Yeah, it's no fun at all.
Yeah, I really am not going to be doing that again, but... So on the way back, my first flight got delayed. So I was going to have a 14-minute layover.
Oh, my God.
No. I was just on this flight fucking panicking. And I had to put, it was, the overhead bins were kind of full. And so I had to put my suitcase like 6 rows back behind me. And so I'm like, even if I jump up first, I got to pummel through all the other people that are going to be in the aisle. And I was so stressed about it, and I did it. I pushed past everybody. It's just so not like my personality. I'd much rather like wait till everybody's off the plane and like,
yeah,
just not be in anybody's face. But I did it. I pushed through. I grabbed my bag and ran to the next gate. And it was delayed an hour.
Of course.
So I made it, which is good. But and then flying into LAX, I guess they are opening a metro station at LAX this year, which is really great news. Yeah. And like end of 2024, because it's fucking batshit crazy that there's no metro or
public transportation
at LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, one of the largest airports in the world. Like everyone gets off a plane and individually calls an Uber. It's so fucking dumb.
It's insane. It's really insane.
It was really upsetting because it was also pouring rain when I landed and walked out.
Oh my God, that's right. You landed on Sunday. It was cuckoo
it was
on Sunday.
Crazy. It was raining so hard.
Like a historic rain.
How did you, have to walk outside for a while too to like get a car?
Yep. I walked, like 10 minutes rain to the Lyft pickup area. And there's just literally hundreds of people there. No Ubers are answering. It was awful. I was just like, this is so fucking dumb. So I'm really excited for that metro to open.
Yeah, that will be great. And I'll say, I've said it before, I'll say it again.
Check out that flyaway bus. You just get on that bus. Oh,
yeah, the flyaway bus. I've used that before. Get on that
bus, take it to Union Station, call an Uber from Union Station. Once I flew in recently, and Joel was going to come pick me up, and I just walked completely out of the airport. I just walked all the way across and out and down the street, and I walked to like the nearest hotel and just had him meet me there because the airport was so crazy.
Yeah.
And if someone's picking you up too, if they don't time it perfectly, they have to loop again nightmare. And it's like an extra 45 minutes of it's being crazy. In traffic.
It's like cars were like not moving, and I was like, I'm just gonna like walk fully out of the airport, and I did, and it was great.
Someone gave me a tip that I am curious to try, just to get on any hotel or car park shuttle and just like go wherever it takes you and call an Uber
there. That is so smart. That is way better than that Uber thing. I will never do the Uber thing at LAX. It's a nightmare.
It's
I won't
awful.
Do
awful.
But those are some great tips.
You're welcome.
Get on get on any shuttle. Anybody flying into LAX, now you've got some tips and tricks.
But let's talk about this week's movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which, as I mentioned, Patron chose an episode with an asterisk that, once again, the movie that won the poll was unavailable streaming anywhere, so I bought it on DVD. That is A Tale of Two Sisters.
Amazing.
So that DVD is coming to me soon, and we'll have that episode in the future. But I went with the second choice of the poll, which was Truth or Dare. Came out in 2018, directed by Jeff Wadlow, written by Michael Rice, Gillian Jacobs, Christopher Roach, starring Lucy Hale, Tyler Posey, and Violet Bean, and it is available to rent on VOD.
The director is something Wadlow?
Jeff Wadlow.
That just reminds me. I'm going to have to tell my friend Lisa this, which is a fact that she told me that she remembers for some reason from growing up, that the tallest man alive, his name is Robert Wadlow.
Okay.
And I know this because she made up a song, a catchy little song about Robert Wadlow, that the second you said that, Jeff Wadlow, I started singing it in my head.
Let's get a taste of that.
Robert Wadlow, tallest man alive, 8 foot 11. I think it's 8 foot 11. No, that can't be right. Robert Wadlow, 22 years old, went straight to heaven. He didn't live very long. He was too tall.
8 foot 11.
Oh, see, and I know it from the song. 8 foot 11. Died at 22. Right.
That's so sad.
It is sad.
Yes, he
too tall for this world.
Robert Wadlow was the tallest man alive. Robert Wadlow. 22 years old, just had to die. That's the song too. That's part of the song.
Wow, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, that is catchy.
Here's a fact I'll never forget. And now all of you will also remember Robert Wadlow, tallest man alive, 8 foot 11.
Thank you.
But that is not the director of this movie.
Not the director of this movie. But I do. No, they're probably not related.
Possibly.
Because I don't think Robert had children.
Yeah, but you can be related in other ways.
Yeah, definitely related.
He had to get here somehow, you know? All right, let's talk about this movie.
Lucy Hale, again, I'll say it again, Pretty Little Liars. I don't know why you guys haven't watched all Pretty Little Liars yet.
I do need to watch Pretty Little Liars.
I really do.
I'm with you on that.
Add it to your list because it
is... Would you rank that a higher or lower priority than Vampire Diaries?
Oh, that's tough. That is tough. I would say that Vampire Diaries taught me more about being a good human and just, you know, the importance of friendship.
Wow.
Pretty Little Liars really has the shock value. It has the shock value. I always use this example.
Don't make me choose.
I was this example, but one of the episodes, one of the girls gets gifted a bracelet made of human teeth. Imagine a junior in high school.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting that. If you asked me to name something that happened in Pretty Little Liars,
I almost did an actual spit take
with a smoothie, which would have been really messy.
With a smoothie, I took a sip of my smoothie as Hannah started that sentence, and I
nearly spit out everywhere. I did not see that coming.
Right? That's Pretty Little Liars for you. Shock value. You don't see it coming.
Yeah, you said the exact right thing to make me want to watch.
I was going
to
say, say no more. I'm sold. Sorry, Vampire Diaries. Where's your bracelets made of human teeth? Get back to me when you have a bracelet made of human teeth. I haven't really seen Lucy Hale in anything. I like very much am aware of her and know who she is, but I think this might be the first thing I've ever seen her in. Is that possible?
It might be possible. I'm starting to rack my brain if I've ever seen her.
She's
in
a lot of random movies and then Pretty Little Liars. I feel like she's just mostly famous for Pretty Little Liars.
I can like picture her on the front of like Christmas Hallmark movies.
Yeah, she seems like that kind of.
I read The Hating Game. She's in the movie of that, but I did not like the book. And I hear the movie is even worse. So I'm not really rushing to watch it.
Oh, she was in The O.C.?
What? She must have been really young.
I don't remember that.
Excuse me, this is saying she's in Riverdale. Katie Keene.
Yep.
2 episodes. So I have seen her. I do remember that.
I have seen her in something. I remember that, too. And it was when they were doing a weird little crossover thing because she had her own show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, look who she plays in The O.C. Hadley Hawthorne.
Katie Keene and Hadley Hawthorne.
Hadley Hawthorne. Oh, shit. Is that me?
Wait, you got to watch The O.C. and find out.
Is that me? It looks exactly like me.
But I
her
like
first
her in this.
Name is Karen. Her name is actually Karen Lucille Hale.
Interesting. Oh. Yeah, I don't see a lot of Karens in their 30s.
You don't see a lot of Karens in their 30s.
No.
Were you guys aware of this movie before today?
No, never heard of it.
Not aware, no.
It has a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
A 35 on Metacritic and a 5.2 on IMDb.
Okay.
The budget was $3.5 million. It made $95.3
million. So $95 million.
It was a success. This is a Blumhouse movie and... Yeah, I guess it did really well, but I vaguely remember it coming out in 2018, but it's one of those movies you can like tell is going to be bad. But I had a lot of fun with it. It's like Ghost Ship. I felt the same way watching Ghost Ship.
Hell
except,
yes.
I mean, there's obviously a huge lack of vessels in this movie, but
glaring omission.
I guess there's an argument that there are some vessels, human vessels, but
ooh.
Anything's a vessel if you try
hard enough. That's true. Mm-hmm. Some trivia for us. There's an ongoing thing that happens in this movie where people have a very big smile on their face. And it looks like a literal Snapchat filter. It's so poorly done. It looks so stupid.
Incredible.
Wait, so it's like a CGI. It's a CGI smile.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't understanding that. Yikes.
But it genuinely looks like, you know, when people hold up Snapchat to the TV when it's like a presidential debate and they are both have the like googly eyes. It looks like
honestly
that.
That's the only thing that could make me not dread this upcoming election. You said that and I was like, those are funny.
Those are really
funny. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see that again.
So the menacing grin, menacing is very funny. The menacing grin that comes with the truth or dare force is nicknamed the Willem Dafoe grin.
Whoa.
Because it is in part inspired by his menacing smile.
Oh my God. Did I tell you that I had a dream about Willem Dafoe recently, Sammy?
No. How was it? Sexy?
We were just hanging out. I met him at a yard sale and we were hanging out and I texted you being like, Willem Dafoe's here. And you were like, okay, I have to take a shower. And you like didn't come. And
a
I
kept shower. Being like,
I know. And I kept,
this isn't, I would this never. Isn't, this isn't Sammy.
You think I would prioritize a shower over anything?
I never, ever. And yeah, I kept being like, I was trying to like keep him there because I was like, Sammy needs what the fuck is she doing? Why is she not here? That was the whole dream. Was that interesting for people to hear about?
I love hearing about dreams and telling about dreams. So sorry, I'm going to tell you guys that I had a dream about Taylor Lautner, and it was an earthquake dream. We recently had an earthquake in Los Angeles, and in my dream, it was a devastating, enormous earthquake because I'm very scared of earthquakes. It was like ground splitting open type earthquake.
Ooh, scary.
And I was driving, and the person driving next to me was Taylor Lautner, and the ground like split open between us. Or no, cutting us off from the other. We were together. We got out of the cars. And he immediately started crying.
Talking about how he
missed his wife, or he wished his wife Taylor Lautner was also there. I hope my wife Taylor Lautner is okay. And I told him that it was going to be okay. I comforted him.
Wow, I think that's your own psyche telling you, like, you're going to be okay. If there's an earthquake, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Okay, so more trivia. Tyler Posey and Lucy Hale's faces did not need much computer tweaking to create the smiles. Wadlow commented that augmentation was only at 5% for both of them. So they just have naturally Snapchatty faces.
Wow.
I could see it with Lucy Hale. She has like big eyes and like big features.
Yeah, she looks like a Pixar character.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, think that's like a compliment to them and their acting, or is it meant to be insulting, or just a fact?
I think he said it at a press event that she was also at, and it was the first time she had heard this piece of information, and she said, I don't know whether to be offended or
yeah, that sounds right,
like if that's a compliment or a diss. This is just a little something that I wrote down. Truth or dare dates back to the early 1700s.
Oh.
There's a recorded games of Truth or Dare.
Wow. Ooh.
Pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting.
What kind of stuff were they doing back then?
What kind of stuff could they have possibly been doing?
Like, I dare you to go run through that cornfield naked.
Probably, yeah. I mean, honestly, I was going to say probably
a lot of the same
kind of stuff. Yeah.
Not much has changed, because truth will be the same thing, too. It's like, who do you like in this group?
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you have to tell us you said truth. So you have to be honest who you like. And dare is always go do this thing naked. I think that's
or like kiss someone.
Yeah. That's always what they are.
And then a romantic love story. Tyler Posey and Sophia Ali went on to date during production of this film.
Wow, romantic.
Don't know how long they dated, but are either of you familiar with Tyler Posey? He is in Teen Wolf. He is, I believe, the titular Teen Wolf. Or is that maybe there's multiple Teen Wolves?
I'm not
familiar with him.
No, I do not know who this
is. Any relation to Parker?
I don't think so.
He was in Made in Manhattan.
Wow. A lot of people with last names who aren't related to each other here. What the heck?
Confusing. Anyways, yeah, I just saw that he was kind of a big deal based on my Reddit research. I was not familiar with him, and you know, he was a sensation in Teen Wolf, I suppose.
I was going to say teen TV stars. A lot of teen TV stars.
So we will watch the trailer at the end because it spoils everything. And if you want to watch that, that'll be available on our Patreon. But let's just jump right into this recap. Do you guys dare me to tell you about this movie and be truthful when I do it?
Yes, both. Choose both.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary and use code 2scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/2scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code 2scary so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them. And they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
My mom has had a pretty wild life, a lot of interesting stuff. She was in a couple popular bands in South Africa in the 80s. She's traveled all around the world, and she is so full of stories that I'm still finding out new things about her. So this Mother's Day, I know just what to get her. It's called Storyworth, and Storyworth helps you preserve those memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a question. You can help choose the questions if you'd like. Some that I've asked my mom are, what was your first boss like? What were your favorite toys as a child? And all they need to do is respond to the email with a story. It can be long or short. They can even include pictures if they want. Sky's the limit, so you can enjoy their retelling of your favorite stories and new stories you've never heard before. After a year, Storyworth compiles all their stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I love this. I love having these kinds of physical items, whether it's a journal or a photo book. I know we can have all this stuff on our phones now or the computer, but it's just not the same. Having something actually tangible is just the best. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/2scary. That's storyworth.com/2scary to save $10 on your first purchase.
The seasons are changing. We are starting to have warm days in Los Angeles. And if you're like me, every time the seasons change, I realize I actually hate every single thing I own and need to swap everything out. And that is a daunting task, but imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50 for those places where it is still chilly, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, yes, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel great about the items that you are purchasing. For example, I purchased a pair of clogs. They are so comfortable. I have lusted after a pair of suede clogs for so long. They're pricey other places, and I just could never justify it for shoes that I'm basically treating like outdoor slippers. And I got a pair at Quince. They are amazing. I truly love them. So if you too would like to be walking around in gorgeous pieces that make you feel happy and comfortable at a price that you can feel good about, go to Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/too scary for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/too scary to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/too scary.
I do have to give us a trigger warning for suicide. Okay, so we open on a woman arriving at a gas station in Mexico, looks like kind of in the middle of nowhere. She seems very on edge, runs inside to the cashier to try to put, you know, get some gas for her car. And as she's talking to him, his face turns into a silly little smile.
Oh, no.
And a demonic voice says, "Truth or dare?" And she's starts, you know, like shaking her head. "No, no, no, I don't want to play anymore. Please, I don't want to play anymore." Cut to her walking down the aisles of the like convenience store, gas station store, and grabbing a bottle of gasoline, going up to another woman in the store, pouring it all over her and lighting her on fire, and then like crying and saying, "I'm sorry, I had no choice. I have no choice."
What is truth? Like, you know what I mean?
Why don't you just pick truth?
Sorry, that's immediately off the bat my main question here.
And you know what? I'm surprised to tell you that I'm going to have an answer for you, so sit tight.
Okay.
Amazing.
So now we cut to our protagonist, Olivia. This is Lucy Hale. She is making a YouTube video trying to convince her followers to, instead of going to Mexico for spring break, volunteer with me for Habitat for Humanity. You won't have to have any hangovers, and you can know that you did a good thing for your community. Have you guys ever done Habitat for Humanity? I actually did want to do it, but I never did.
I did one day of Habitat for Humanity in like high school.
Yeah, I feel like it's a high school type thing.
And it was very fulfilling, and I never did it again.
Well, like building something and then having it be built sounds very satisfying. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Really mm-hmm. seeing the fruits of your labor. And then giving that to someone in need. Why am I being so weird today?
You're channeling Lucy Hale character.
So weird today.
Why am I being so weird today?
So she finishes this video and posts it. And then her best friend, Marky, comes in. Marky is Violet Bean. She looks kind of like Imogen Poots to me.
Oh, yeah.
And she is trying to convince her to go to Mexico with all of them instead. And she's saying, "No, no, I'm doing Habitat for Humanity." And Marky tells her, "Actually, you're not. I got you a ticket already. And I told Habitat for Humanity that you have like diarrhea or something and you can't come." Wow. And Olivia's mad, but this is, I believe, their senior year of college and their last spring break they're going to have together. And so Marky is begging her, please come on. This is we're not going to get to do this again. You have to come. And they, all of their friends have agreed they're going to do Habitat for Humanity for 2 weeks when they get back. So it's going to be a net positive overall. So Olivia agrees.
Great. Just right off the bat, quickly, sorry, I'm just fascinated by a friendship where your interests would be so diverged at this age. You know what I mean? Where it's mm-hmm. like, can you imagine being best friends with someone in college who wanted to do Habitat for Humanity instead of going to Mexico for spring break?
Well, I'll be honest, their friendship does seem a little rocky.
Mm.
I mean, this isn't a very nice friend thing to do.
Right.
No, not at all.
So
we meet Marky's boyfriend Lucas is also in the room and some of their other friends. And there's a little moment between Lucas and Olivia where she's looking at him a little too long and he catches her looking and she looks away embarrassed. And we're picking up a little something there.
Mm.
And the other friends that are going to be going with them to Mexico are Brad, Tyson. Tyson's kind of a jock guy. He's a medical student. Tyson's girlfriend, Penelope, her personality is girlfriend.
Mm. Mm.
Brad's personality is gay friend. Not a lot of character development for these guys.
Sure, sure.
And then there's Ronnie, who's kind of the goofball annoying one that they all seem to not really like. So they're in Mexico now. We're at some resort and Olivia's at the bar and someone starts hitting on her that she clearly is not interested in and is trying to get out of this conversation when a cute stranger sitting at the bar cuts in and saves her from and basically just like, you know, pretends she's his girlfriend or something. And so the other guy backs off, leaves him alone, and she thanks him for rescuing her from the creepy guy. And this guy's name is Carter. She's clearly attracted to him. And this is a fun little, could be a fun Mexico hookup. Who knows? Everyone at this point in the night is feeling tired and ready to go back to their rooms. But Carter suggests that he's found this like ruins place that is cool and that he wants to show them. And nobody wants to go except for Olivia, who has a crush on him and is like, come on, you guys, come on. You like made me come here and you have to do this with me. Come on. It's going to be fun.
Let's go at the end of the night to some ruins with a stranger.
Yeah, really good idea. What could go wrong? So they reluctantly agree and they all go to this abandoned, rundown church that's trashed and creepy. And Carter suggests that they play Truth or Dare.
A stranger cannot suggest that you play Truth or Dare. I think even if I weren't in a horror movie situation, if I meet somebody and I don't know them and they say, let's play Truth or Dare, I think you're going to murder me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would immediately think that that's what was about to happen.
I'm not a big fan of Truth or Dare, even with people I know. What are your guys' thoughts on Truth or Dare?
No, I don't like it.
Because I don't like doing anything I don't want to do.
Exactly. I also like fundamentally disagree with, like, if I was playing Truth or Dare and someone dared me to do something, I'd be like, no.
No.
Exactly. I think that Truth or Dare is almost like a self-selecting game. Like, it's like there's a type of personality that likes to play Truth or Dare, and then they kind of like force other people to play Truth or Dare.
Mm-hmm. Truth or Dare, I think, is like a bully's game.
Yeah, in mm-hmm. a way, it is a bully's game.
Yeah.
And I think those are the only ways and times I've ever played it was when I was like hanging out with
someone who was kind of bullying.
Someone's like kind of a bully. Yeah. It's like a way to be mean to somebody and be like, it's the game.
Your frenemy that you're like kind of scared of.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not being mean. It's what? It's Truth or Dare. What? Just tell me all your secrets. Tell everybody hear all your secrets.
Yeah.
What? It's the game.
Yeah. It's not a fun game, but Carter suggests it. And for some reason, they all agree.
It is a horny game.
It can be horny. Yeah.
So I can see why if you're feeling a little horny, maybe you're going to say yes to the murderer.
Well, someone, I think, suggests spin the bottle. And Carter's like, no, Truth or Dare. it's got to be truth or dare.
Yeah, now I'm definitely, I'm back to being like, you're going to murder me.
Yeah. So they start asking each other in a real willy-nilly order. I feel like normally you go around the circle or yeah. whoever you pick goes next. This is just completely random.
Chaos.
Absolute chaos.
The world can't function this way.
No. And so Olivia gets asked first and she picks truth. Someone asks her, if you had to pick between everyone in this room dying or the entire population of Mexico dying,
what
would you pick? And she says, everyone in this room, obviously. And they're all offended, like, what the fuck? You'd let us die? And she's like, over millions of people? Yeah. Carter says, you have to tell the truth. And she looks at him and she says, I am. And he does a little face like, okay.
How could that not be the answer?
I don't know. Because these are like shitty little college students. So then we get some of the more, you know, expected ones, a lap dance. There is a gay kiss, two guys kiss in it, which I, in the trivia, it says is only the second teen slasher where two guys have kissed. The first being Tamara.
Hmm. Whoa.
Isn't that pretty wild?
Fucked up?
Yeah. Because there's also, of course, Olivia and Penelope kiss at one point, and the trivia was like, that's been in movies before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Girls kissing has been in them quite a lot. So there's lap dances, there's kissing. Carter's looking a little on edge. We're kind of, obviously, we're suspicious of him. And Marky picks truth, and it's Tyson, the jockey medical student guy that has asked her, and he says, do you know that Olivia is in love with your boyfriend? And
this is a game for bullies.
Yeah, yep. Not nice. Yep. Not nice.
This is what this game is designed for, is these types of moments. And Olivia says, that's not true. She's looking like really stressed. Marky looks confused. Everyone, it's awkward and uncomfortable. And Olivia's denying it. Olivia asks Tyson next, truth or dare? And he picks dare. And she says, I dare you to stop selling fake prescriptions to undergrads.
Okay.
And he goes, okay, fine. Like, I can sell them to non-undergrads or something. Mm. I don't know. And it finally comes around to Carter. He picks truth. And Penelope asks him, what are your intentions with our Olivia? And he says, she seemed like an easy target. I needed to get a group of people here with me to play truth or dare. And she seemed like she would be an easy person to convince. Everyone's like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to hear the word target.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's not good.
He explains to them that this game of truth or dare will continue and that they're part of it now. It's kind of an it follows situation. Mm-hmm. He's passed it on to them. And you will be asked truth or dare, and you have to do the truths and you have to do the dares or you die. And then he kind of heads out. Like, see ya. Obviously, nobody believes it. And they're just like, that guy's a freak. What the fuck was that? And Olivia has a vision of all of her friends having funny little smiley faces just for a quick moment. And then it's gone. And she like shakes it off as if it was nothing at all.
Oh, no.
And they, you know, head back to college after their trip. I think they've forgotten about this for the most part. But then on their first day back at school, they're in the library and Olivia is surrounded by all these other students that start closing in on her, like circling her with silly smiley faces saying truth or dare, Olivia, truth or dare. And they're just, it's this cacophony of them doing it and she can't make it stop. So she says, truth, truth. We don't hear the question, but it just like cuts to a normal library. Nobody's actually around her. This is just in her head, but there are other people in the library and she just yells, Marky cheats on Lucas constantly. And of course, Marky and Lucas are sitting right there Marky is pissed. Storms out. She's and Olivia's like, it was the game. It was truth or dare. I had to say it. And they obviously don't believe her. Now Olivia is realizing that this is real and trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. We cut to Ronnie, who was second in the truth or dare order that they did initially. And he's at a bar trying to hit on a girl. And her face turns into a little smiley face. And she says, truth or dare, Ronnie. And he picks dare. She dares him to show his dick to everybody in the restaurant or in the bar. And he climbs up on a pool table and is like, this beautiful lady right here has just dared me to show you all my genitalia. And this girl is now looking at him like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Because it's not actually happening in real life. She didn't actually ask him to do that. And he says, but I'm not going to do that. And I can't remember why, but he refuses to do it. And he just puts on a little show. And because he doesn't do it, now his face turns into a weird little smiley face as people are trying to get him off the pool table. And he almost falls and impale himself on a pool cue. And someone like grabs him and stops him like, whoa, dude, watch out. And he's like, thank you. And walks over to the other side of the pool table, steps on a pool ball. And trips and lands, breaking his neck on the next. There's another pool table next to it. So he just like falls and his neck snaps on the other table.
Wow. Okay.
Ronnie's dead.
Really traumatic date for that woman.
Not good.
This was, I think, this was just a stranger at a bar. This was someone he's hitting on at random, but traumatic for everybody.
Traumatic for everybody. Yeah. I completely do not understand the premise of this movie. This is so funny.
It's so funny. It's so extremely convoluted. I can't wait to get into the details of
What?
It's just like a sneaky little demon who likes to play truth or dare. It's just wandering around the world.
Escalating game of truth or dare is a fun horror concept, but it just seems like it would be better as a slasher. Like, it doesn't need a supernatural element. Like, wouldn't it be scarier if it was just like someone forcing you to do things?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll keep going, but yeah, so far I'm sort of like, okay.
And I gotta say, I know you're gonna give more examples of truth, but so far it's like, if the truth is something that's like you would have to assume that everyone has like extremely devastating secrets that they're harboring.
You'd be right. Which to
I don't know if that's necessarily true generally, that everyone has like, and also even if you do have a devastating secret, it's better than lighting someone on fire. Right.
Yeah, it is. It's like it feels like this, we're doing It Follows meets Final Destination
meets Smile.
Meets Smile, meets a really, really half-hearted idea.
Mm-hmm. It feels like that when watching.
I'm loving it so far. All right, let's continue.
I also am loving it. So we see that it is happening in the same order that they went. So Olivia sees a video of Ronnie dying that someone posted somewhere, which seems
that's not good.
Pretty fucked up. And is showing it to her friends, trying to convince them this is real. He got dared to do this and he died like Carter said he would. And it's going to happen to Lucas would have been next. It's going to be Lucas next. Someone's going to ask you truth or dare, like pick truth. Lucas doesn't believe her. Nobody believes her yet. They again storm off. But as Lucas is walking home by himself, because he's not talking to Marky right now either, because he's found out that she cheats on him. He's in this alleyway and spray painted on the wall, it says truth or dare. And he's like, haha, very funny. And then his arm starts hurting and he pulls back his sleeve to reveal the words truth or dare being cut into his skin or like burned into his skin. And this kind of, we're seeing now that, okay, this is not his friends pranking him. And so he picks truth and he has to admit that he has feelings for Olivia as well.
It's also so funny, though, because it's like
this one, sorry, I'm not going to be able to do this for every single truth theory that comes up, but isn't the whole point of truth that people will hear it? Like, yes, that this demon or whatever the fuck it is couldn't just wait a little bit longer to for ask him to when there's like
the presence people of people around,
that it had to write it on the wall and then write it on his skin and make him say a truth that nobody would hear. It's like, OK, so that's just like him and his own thoughts, I guess.
But does he have to go tell Olivia?
He does tell Olivia, but I don't think he has to. I just think he does, because he goes back to her because he believes her now and is like, oh, my God, it just happened. And she's like, well, which one did you pick? What did you do? And he says, I picked truth and I admitted that I do have feelings for you. But there's no time to deal with that. We got to get everybody together and convince everybody that this is real and this is happening and that they have to do the dares or truth or whatever they pick or they'll die. So we get everybody in the same room. Marky is going to be next, and they are able to like convince her to come. She's mad at all of them. And at some point, one of their faces turns to Truth or Dare, the little smiley demon guy, and asks her. She picks Dare.
You fucking idiot.
I know. She doesn't believe them, I think, and is just like trying to be, I don't know, an asshole.
Well, we'll see how that goes for her.
And she gets Dared to break Olivia's hand, because earlier in the library, Olivia had grabbed Marky right after she'd revealed that she's cheated on him and like touched her. And Marky said, if you touch me with that hand again, I'll break it. So now she's being dared to break Olivia's hand. Olivia, God bless her, doesn't bat an eye, goes and grabs a hammer, lays her hand on the table. It's like, you have to do it. You have to do it. And Marky says, are you insane? Like, I'm mad at you, but I'm not breaking your fucking hand. Olivia is desperately trying to convince her to do it. She's like, Marky, you have to. Lucas is telling her you have to. Everyone else is like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
And
Olivia uses a piece of information that she has that I can't remember how we learned, but Marky's dad has committed suicide in the past. And Olivia says, don't be a coward like your fucking dad. She's trying to piss her off to get her to break her hand. And that does do the trick. And she breaks Olivia's hand.
Ouch.
It does look bad. I was very impressed with Olivia's. She didn't hesitate.
No, that's a good friend right there.
She's a good friend.
Yeah. Yep.
But I guess you don't. Yeah. If you know that if that she doesn't do it, she's going to die. You would be like, yeah.
Fucking hand.
I would let you guys break my hand.
I would too.
There's so many bones in the hand, but it counts as a broken hand.
Wow. And now this is interesting.
I did kind of have that thought because I feel like you'd have to hit
the middle
really hard with the hammer. She does hit the middle and she does hit pretty hard. And so
something's broken.
Oh, it would hurt so bad.
I think you'd probably break something.
Yeah, because there's a lot of those bones are like really small.
Exactly. You
know? Like you'd have to hit, if you're doing a big bone, you'd have to really, I don't want to talk about this.
So, you know, they go to the hospital, they get her hand bandaged up, and Brad is next. He's alone when it happens, and he picks truth. I think they've convinced everyone, like, pick truth. So he is talking to his dad. His dad's a cop. And he hasn't come out to his dad. His dad doesn't know he's gay. So obviously this
demon is really mean.
Yeah. So this demon makes him come out to his dad. And he goes back to the group to tell them that this has happened. And he says it actually like went really well. And it was like a really nice. Like, I feel really relieved.
The demon's like, God damn it. Fuck. Okay, do better next time.
They realize Tyson is next, and he was not in the room with them or just doesn't believe them. And so they're like rushing to find him. And Penelope tells them that he's in his interview for his like first job at a hospital out of college. So he's in this like important interview. They get there and they're trying to, like, as the interview is wrapping up and the woman interviewing him, her face turns into a little smiley at the end. She's like, just one more question.
The demon is so fucking pumped at this point that he's like, okay, I fucked up the last one, but this is really going to work. Truth or dare, I'm going to win in this moment. This is perfect for me. This demon is licking its chops uh-huh. over this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. He's having some fun. And Tyson picks Truth. I think they're in the hallway and they're like, pick truth. And he's like, what the fuck? What's going on? And he doesn't really understand what's happening. And the woman interviewing him says, is it true that you sell prescriptions to undergrads or something like that? And it turns back into, we've seen that, like, the people that are being taken over, it's only really happening in the mind of the person that's, I mean, yeah, like everything else stays normal.
It's only for the receiver.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, face to face with this woman that's interviewing him for an important job. And he just says, like, no, of course I don't sell prescriptions to undergrads, or something incriminating and weird. And from her point of view, completely out of nowhere, just random. But he has lied, which is against the rules. And his face turns into a little smile as they're trying to come in and save him. He turns and locks them all out of the room and grabs a pen from the table, stabs it into his eye.
Ah!
And it goes in, you know, an inch or two, and then walks over to the wall and slams his head against the wall so that the pen goes all the way in, Dark Knight Rises style.
Wow.
And it's gone. Oh, I want to watch Dark Knight Rises again. Or no, the Dark Knight. There's a part where he shows a magic trick to everyone and he balances a pencil on the table and says, I'm going to make it disappear. And he just grabs the guy next to him, slams his head down onto it, and it goes into his brain. He goes, and it's gone.
Oh my God. Terrifying.
Yeah. But maybe not the worst way to go. Seems like it'd be pretty fast. I mean, I guess you'd want it to go. You'd want it to be more the Dark Knight style than this style. Yeah.
If I had to choose.
Do you think you die right away necessarily, though? Because sometimes can't you, like, get a hole through the brain and you still live?
That changes things.
That changes things.
Isn't
for
that
sure.
a thing? I don't know. I feel like there have been instances of that.
I'm sure there have. There's all sorts of medical marvels out there. I'm sure it's happened somewhere.
You're just walking around with a full pencil in your head.
Don't take it out.
And now you speak seven languages. Ooh. And can play the classical jazz guitar.
God, ever since the Joker stabbed that pencil through his brain, he's incredible. The Joker's at home like, fuck,
I'll do it next time. Okay, so the rest of the surviving gang is all back together at one of their houses. Penelope's getting drunk because her boyfriend is dead and she saw him die. But she's up next, given their order from the beginning. And so they're telling her, you know, you gotta pick truth. We're going to figure this out. They're doing a lot of laptop research. Not quite a montage, but we'll call it a montage. It's just like the amount of... There's one scene where there's three MacBooks on the table between them. And they're just like typing. It's so funny. They're just constantly like, truth or dare, haunted, ghost, demon. It's very funny.
What? Google search will work for this.
And Penelope goes to the bathroom and her reflection gets the smile and asks her truth or dare. And she says truth. And the reflection says, this game doesn't work like that. And she says, what? And it forces her to pick dare. We don't know why yet. So we don't see what happens. One of the things they look up on Google is Carter USC, because they knew, he said he went to USC. The guy in the beginning, they're like trying to track that guy down. I'm like, I think everybody at USC is named Carter.
And that can be a first Good or luck. Last name.
Yeah, exactly. Carter USC. I mean, I guess it's a starting point.
Yeah, just throw it out there.
Yeah, you're pretty desperate. We're like, We'll try anything. And we see that they find an article about the woman that we saw in the opening scene setting someone on fire that popped up for Truth or Dare Mexico. For some reason in the news article, it says she was playing a game of truth or dare and then lit this person on fire. This woman is missing. She's on the run. She's wanted for murder, obviously. Her name is Giselle. They track her down on social media, create a fake account to DM her to say that they like need to talk to her about the Truth or Dare game. And are waiting to hear back from her. While we see Penelope is now on the roof. They run. Everyone runs outside and why didn't you pick Truth? And she said, they wouldn't let me. And her dare is to walk around the perimeter of the roof and finish the like fifth of vodka that she's drinking. And so getting like progressively more and more drunk as she's basically looks like tightrope walking along the edge of the roof. They run inside. This is a pretty smart thing to do. Everyone runs inside and gets a mattress, and they're just like following around with her with the mattress so that if she falls, she'll get onto the mattress. But then there's a part of the exterior of the house that has a wrought iron fence that has the little sharp part at the top. They try to put the mattress over it, but all the spikes just go through it. And they're like, fuck, that's not going to work. Olivia, again, immediately gets into her car, pulls back and just starts like driving into the fence to try to completely knock it over, and knocks it over. And they lay the mattress on top of it. Now, I'm like, this was pretty good. They handled this really well.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Meanwhile, Lucas gets up on the roof with Penelope, and she's like, you can't help me. I have to do it myself. She's so drunk.
I feel like this is like going to be a Final Destination thing where you think the death is going to be one thing and it's like a bird's going to like fly into her head or something and kill her.
Yeah. But he's basically saying, I'm not going to help you. You're going to finish it. But when you do finish, I'm going to help you get down. She's almost done. She finishes the last swig of like 32 ounces of vodka. Ugh. And she starts passing out and falls off the roof and lands on the mattress, and she did it and she survived. Wow. And I think it's a pretty good scene. I was really on the edge of my seat. It's pretty stressful.
That's cool.
So it's a close call, but she survived. And after this, Giselle has responded to their DM and agrees to meet up. That there's a lot of this stuff that's like, okay, I guess, yeah, they just found her and now they're meeting up. They're in the same spot.
Also that like this woman is wanted for murder and she responds to a DM from an Instagram account and agrees to meet in person. The cops again are like, fuck. damn it, we did shift time.
So we get some more information from Giselle because she's obviously familiar with the Truth or Dare game. They're like, what's happening? Why couldn't we pick Truth? And she says, well, when we started the game, we play a version of Truth or Dare that's called Two Truths and a Dare. So if two people pick Truth, the next person has to pick Dare. You can pick Truth or Dare, but if the previous two people have picked Truth, then you have to pick Dare. So that's the rules that this demon is following. She says that they also they started playing it in the church, and her friend Sam trashed the church while they were there. And for some reason, the game never ended. And Sam got dared to invite new people into the game, which I guess has to be done in this church.
Okay. So Sam is Carter?
I mean, yes, which she says right here, but for some reason they don't put together. And they're like, oh, do you know Carter? And she's like, huh? No.
That's because Carter lied about his name. They're like, he would never have lied about his name.
He would never have done that. No, Carter from USC.
His name is definitely Carter.
Or like, that's how this always happens. One person gets dared to bring new people in.
Yeah.
And he is Carter. But either way, it doesn't fucking matter. Just like, you've got your answers. Let go of Carter. Carter doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it could have been a bunch of iterations of people who have already done this. Yeah.
Yeah. And Giselle says all of her friends are dead. It's just her. And she pulls out a gun and she's like crying and she says, I'm sorry. And we realize she's still in the game because it doesn't let you go once you've passed it on. It just widens the time between your turns, essentially, when more people are in the game. And so she says, I'm sorry, but it was my turn and dared to kill you, Olivia. And so she tries to shoot Olivia. Drunk ass Penelope jumps in front of that bullet, takes a fucking bullet for her, dies.
Wow. Penelope's still drunk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. From 32 ounces of vodka. It's the same. The same night. I think they like go from here to there.
They just like drive straight to Tijuana. Wait.
No, I think they're in. I don't think it's in Mexico. I think Giselle just happened. That's
very convenient.
Happens to be where they are, somewhere in Southern California. And I could be wrong, but these are the type of details that are really not paid attention to. And in a way that's just like, everything's just convenience. They're like, who cares how they get together? They get together.
Okay.
It's very funny. And because now Giselle did not complete the dare, she is taken over by the demon and shoots herself in the head.
Jeez. And is Penelope dead?
Penelope's dead. Now Giselle is dead. Their only lead. So back to the laptops, more Googling about the church, what's the history of this church, and they find that a priest died there, and a bunch of young nuns died there, but there's one surviving nun that is still in Mexico, in Tijuana, and so now we've got another lead.
I love the idea of the demon being a young nun.
So they're back at the house where their laptops are.
Wow. Yeah. So they couldn't have just gone to Tijuana and come back. Like,
no, they're going to go to Tijuana. Go. Yeah. No, they didn't go. They didn't go to. Yes. Giselle was not in Tijuana. She was conveniently located much closer
around the block.
And when they get back to the house, it's resetting back to the beginning. It's going to be Olivia's turn again. And she picks Dare, and it's now like her, Brad.
Did she go to the hospital for her hand?
Yes, she did. She's got a cast on. So now it's her, Brad, Marky, Lucas. Penelope's dead. Tyson's dead. Ronnie's dead. Giselle's dead. And we're obviously all like taking this seriously now. So of any resentments between Marky and Olivia have been put on the back burner for now, until this dare. Olivia picks Dare for some reason, even though we've all agreed that we should all pick Truth. And
well, Penelope, maybe because only two people can.
Yes. Yes.
And so she might be trying to spare her friends, yes, because that's the kind of person she is.
Exactly. And so, but she gets dared to have sex with Lucas.
And okay, she's kind of like, huh.
Yeah, not the worst thing. Not the worst thing.
Guys, I have to or I'll die. I don't want to. Okay. I don't want to do this at all. I just have to or I'll
die. It totally sucks. And we're all so mad about this. But
if you guys could give us some privacy right now, that would be
demon,
great. We better get to it.
Gosh. And it said I have to really enjoy it or I'll die. If I don't come, I'll die.
It says we both have to come and there has to be a lot of foreplay. Ugh.
Or I'll die.
So Marky is obviously very mad about this and says, why didn't you pick Dare? Olivia says exactly what he said. I was trying to prevent you guys from having to do that. Marky says, how noble. Storms out.
Marky is a bitch.
Marky, she let you break her hand so that you wouldn't die. Yeah. Also, you are cheating on him. Also, like, these are not the things we need to be caring about in this moment.
Yeah, we don't see a lot of the groundwork of their friendship, of like why it is that we should
they don't
try
seem
to
like
repair
each other
this
at
friendship.
All.
No, not at all. And how would she have known this was going to be the dare? It's not like she was like, I'm going to pick this because I bet.
Yeah. The last person who got dared to shoot me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Marky's gone. So now they have their privacy. It's just Lucas and Olivia. She reveals to him that she told Marky that she picked Dare because she was trying to spare the rest of them. But the truth is she picked Dare because she's harboring a secret that if Marky found out, it would destroy her.
Oh, okay. Something to do with her dad?
Any guesses on what it is? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So they have sex, and as they're having sex, Olivia looks at him and says, you're only doing this because of the dare. Yeah, bitch, what's fucking wrong with that? I'm trying to save your fucking life.
Yeah, also, like,
even if he did have feelings for her, he still would only be having sex with her because of the dare. You know what I mean? Like, there's too much at stake right now.
You're also only having sex with him because of the dare.
Yes. Right, exactly.
We're all here because of the dare.
And that's okay. But what she's really saying is, you're not as into it as mm-hmm. I'd like you to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as they're having sex, Olivia's face turns silly and still looks pretty Lucy Haley, only about 5% sillier. And she says, truth or dare, Lucas?
Like, while he's inside her?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Which is, this is the demon being really rude. I thought we both had to come. And he has picked truth, and he says he does have feelings for Olivia, but he is in love with Marky and wants to be with Marky.
Oh.
Real boner killer.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks.
Yeah. Now we cut to Marky, who is watching a video of her dad, you know, like a fond memory of him barbecuing something. And then this fucking video of the dad gets a silly face, dad in the video.
Oh, that is really fucked up, G-Man.
Really fucked up. And he says, truth or dare, Marky. And she picks truth. And the video of the dad asks, why do you keep the gun that I used to kill myself?
Oh.
And she says, she's crying, and she says, because sometimes I think about using it too.
Hmm.
Brad is up next. He is, I don't remember the situation, but he's with his dad again, somehow on the street in front of the house that everybody else is in. And he's like, it's okay. It's like going to be okay. His dad's face gets silly, asks him truth or dare. Face says, I dare you. Or he picks dare. And does he have to pick dare? He doesn't have to pick dare.
I think he has to. Yeah,
oh,
he does.
Yes, he does. He does. And so the demon dares him to grab his dad's gun off of him. His dad's a cop again, or in uniform, so has his gun. And says, grab your dad's gun, make him get on his knees and beg for his life. And they're having this like heart-to-heart moment because it's, you know, they've had a clearly rocky relationship in the past, and they've just had this more emotional together. And so the dad is like checking in on him, and
this demon sucks.
It really is mean. Brad is crying, and he's like, I love you, dad, and I just like want you to know that I love you no matter what. And I'm like really sorry for what's about to happen. I'll explain everything later. Grabs the gun. Screams at his dad to get on his knees. His dad is getting on his knees and is being like so apologetic and is like, Brad, I'm sorry. Like, is this what you think? Is this what you think of me? Is this what you think it's going to like take for us to have a closer relationship? And he's like, beg for your life. Please. Like, I need you to beg for your life. And he's like, Brad, let's talk about this, Brad.
Oh,
and he
no.
like won't, he won't beg for his life. He's just trying to de-escalate, which is, you know, what a cop is supposed to do. And his partner cop runs up, shoots Brad, kills him.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Devastating.
Yeah, really that's devastating. Really sad. That's really sad.
You see the dad like, go like, no, like, yeah, it's really sad.
I don't understand why a silly little movie like this has to be so sad.
Yeah, there is some sad stuff. So now Marky is not answering Olivia's calls. So it's just Lucas and Olivia
Olivia trying to, they want to go to Tijuana. They want to find this nun and see if they can get more information, any answers on how to stop this game. So they go by themselves and track down this nun. She's an older woman now, probably in her 70s. So her presumably daughter or granddaughter greets them and says she hasn't spoken to anybody in, you know, since that incident, but she agreed to speak to you guys. But I mean, she doesn't speak, but she's agreed to see you guys. And I think this is the silliest scene of the movie. It's we're going to get into some cold, hard answers here that are so dumb. This is the part of the movie where it's like, it's better left unsaid, these things.
Uh-huh. We don't need it spelled out for us.
I want it spelled out because I can't wait to find out. I can't wait to find out what it is.
I laughed through all of this. Well, some of it's not funny. They're tossing sad things in here and there. But so they go and sit down with this woman, and she's written things on paper for them to read. Olivia reads it out loud. It says, the mission was a convent where young women went to find God. We were girls, so we played silly games like hide and seek.
Does this woman, sorry, write in perfect English also?
Yes.
In full sentences.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like they could have done a thing where Lucy Hale's character can speak Spanish and is like, I have to say this out loud because I'll translate it.
Yeah, they could have, but they did not. So we were girls, so we played silly games like hide and seek. But the priest who ran the convent made us play his own game. And there's an implication here of some sort of abuse, sexual abuse. And it doesn't get into it, but clearly something bad went on, and they all are scared of this priest and wanting payback for this priest. And one of the girls reveals that she knew how to do spells, and so she summoned a demon named Calyx that possessed their game of truth or dare. Lucas says, possess the game? The woman goes back to her notepad, scribble, scribble, scribble. We read out loud, demons can possess people, places, ideas, and even games. Like something like that.
Oh my God.
The girl who summoned Calyx was eventually possessed by Calyx, killed the priest, chopped him up into a bunch of little pieces, and never wanted to stop playing the game. And she explains that the person who released the demon can trap it with a ritual by his own hand. She hands this is now in Spanish, a page of something in Spanish. And they're like, is this the spell or this is the ritual? It's in Spanish. It must be repeated 7 times by the person who released the demon, and a sacrifice must be placed in a pot and sealed with wax, and then the game will end. Calyx will be trapped again. Pretty simple, straightforward bullet point stuff.
Yeah. This woman has just been sitting on for a while.
Yeah. And Olivia recognizes this pot because she saw it in the church. She pulls up her phone and she just happens to have a photo of this broken pot.
She's just taking photos of in the church.
And she's like, I remember it smelled really bad. And the woman's like, and scribble, 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 and holds it up. The sacrifice. And we're like, what's the sacrifice? And scribble, 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 tongue. Olivia puts together, you release the demon, because the person who released the demon has to be the person who sacrifices something. And she nods and opens her mouth, and we see she has no tongue.
Oh.
So they need to do the same. So they need to find Sam, whoever Sam is, because Sam trashed the church is what Giselle said. We don't know who Sam is.
Oh my God, these idiots.
So at this point, I think all of them get called to the police station because they've tracked the IP address of her message to Giselle, who is wanted for murder. Mm-hmm, and so they're obviously tracking her social media. Yeah, they're all there. And Marky is there as well. And, you know, kind of pissed at everybody. The mood is tense, us all being together, but they're saying, you know, there's good news. Olivia's like, we found some information. We can make this stop. So Marky's, you know, pleased to hear that. And Olivia gets called into the interrogation room. The guy is being like, can you tell me what's happening? All of your friends are dead. All of Giselle's friends are dead. Giselle's dead. There's only four of you alive now. Like, I'm trying to help you. Like, please tell me what the fuck is going on. And she says, four? Who else? And he says, you, Lucas, Marky, and Sam. And shows her pictures of each person, which I guess maybe you would do as a cop interrogating someone. Seems like maybe confidential information. I don't know. But a huge twist. Sam is Carter.
No way. Almost as if he was like, what's the name of someone who goes to USC?
So she's like, oh, great. And is like, are you arresting me? He says, no. She's like, great. I gotta go. Leaves the interrogation room. Back out into the front area where Lucas and Marky are. And Marky's face turns silly. It's Olivia's turn. Says, truth or dare, Olivia. She picks dare because she's got something that Marky can't know. Or it'll crush her. And this demon dares her to tell the truth to Marky.
Yeah, that's the other twist. That's the other twist.
That's what you can do with the dare. You can always, I dare you to tell me the truth.
So Olivia realizes the jig is up. She's got to come clean. She sits Marky down. She says, I have something I need to tell you. I was there the night that your dad killed himself. I was coming over to your house to see you. You weren't there. It was just him. Something had happened, maybe a breakup or something. She was crying. Olivia was crying. And he came in and offered her a beer. And she was upset, so she took it. And after she had the beer, she started to feel uncomfortable, tried to leave. He started trying to convince her to stay. And she was like, you know, extremely uncomfortable trying to go. And he was trying to get her to stay. And I can't remember the exact words, but he says something like, it'd be better off for Marky if you didn't tell her about this, or something like that. And Olivia says to him, I think it'd be better off for Marky if you were dead.
Did he do anything?
She doesn't really say, but
okay.
But it seems like
those were the intentions regardless.
Yeah, he made
sexual advances.
Yes.
Ew.
Yes. I don't think it culminated in anything, but that was where it was headed. And so Olivia yelled in his face that he'd be better off dead. And that was the night that he killed himself.
Well, she can't feel responsible for that, but that's also horrible timing. That's awful. That's terrible.
Really, really tough. So it is a pretty big secret.
That's a pretty big one. That's mm-hmm. a pretty big one.
Marky storms out again. She's crying. She just wants to be alone. She's like, I just need to be alone. Goes back to her house, gets the gun out, her dad's gun, and is crying and pointing it at herself. Seems like she's thinking of committing suicide. And Olivia runs in and breaks the door down. The door is locked, and she breaks in and sees this and convinces her to stop. And they have a heartfelt moment where she's just like, I love you. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But there's so much to live for. We are going to stop this game and it's going to be okay. And Marky has said something like, I'm all alone. I don't have my dad. I don't have Lucas and I don't have you. And Olivia's like, you do have me. You always have me. I love you. And is able to convince her to put the gun down. So Marky has calmed down a little bit and is now with Olivia and Lucas as they are banding together to track down Sam slash Carter so that they can go to Mexico and read that spell 7 times and have him cut his tongue out and put it in a pot, seal it with wax.
Okay.
Yay.
They track him down. I don't know how. I mean, I guess they have his real name now, but he's in a like.
Yeah, Sam. So now we can find him. Yeah, we've got everything we need.
Pop that into Google. That ought to do the trick. Sam address.
Sam, been to Mexico.
But he's in a little like safe house that he's built, kind of like a padded walls type situation.
They found him in his safe house?
Yeah. I don't know how they
cops need to hire them.
Yeah, truly.
They're really good at finding people really good. That the cops need found.
Yeah. And he's like explains that he's been in here because the demon can't come in here. There's no faces, nothing for it to channel through. But now they're there. And they say, we can make this stop. We need you to come back with us to the church. And we can't explain how, but we can make it stop. They don't want to tell him right out the gate. You're going to have to cut out your tongue. Understandably.
That's not going to get him on board.
No, that's probably not. So he agrees because having the game stop is a compelling prospect.
Uh-huh.
And so they go. They're back in the church in Tijuana and they hand him the spell and they say, okay, read this 7 times. And it's not a short spell. So 7 times is a lot of times. And he's doing it. Lucas is kind of acting weird, shuffling to a further away spot in the room. They're kind of like, Lucas, what's going on? And he's like, I got my dare. And I got dared to choose which one of you to kill, either Olivia or
Marky. This demon is not messing around anymore.
No, it ramps up. You start with the fun one and some secrets, showing your dick.
Yeah. What if you just got on the table and showed your dick to everybody? Or kill one of these two women.
And so he's trying to distance himself from them because he doesn't want to do it. And he's just trying to buy some time while these fucking 7 times reading the spell and just got to cut out your tongue and then we'll be good and the game will stop. So he finishes reading it 7 times and Olivia breaks the bad news and is like, okay, just one more thing.
Great, Josh. You did great with that.
So good. So good. So good. One last little thing. Hands him a knife, says you have to cut out your tongue and put it in this
pot. He has to cut it out himself.
Yes. Yeah.
This demon is such an asshole.
And
disgusting.
Sam, bless his heart, he kind of gets the severity of the situation. Right. And so he's not happy about it, but he pretty quickly is like, okay. Like, I can't believe I have to fucking do this. And starts trying to cut his tongue out. It's not going as fast as you'd think.
That's so gross.
But we see Lucas's face turning into a little smiley face because I guess his time is up for the dare. And now he has to die because he didn't do his dare. And so he goes and snatches the knife from Sam, stabs Sam, kills him, and then slits his own throat. So now Sam and Lucas both dead. And now we don't know how to fucking stop this because Sam didn't complete the sacrifice, the ritual. So they're like, fuck, now what?
That sucks.
It's going to be Marky's turn next. And Olivia says, I need you to trust me. I need you to pick Dare. And I need you to not do it. Marky is scared, but she agrees. And it happens. She picks Dare. Obviously, it dares her to kill Olivia. Again. Really, we're repeating things here. Yeah, we've heard that one already. Calyx. You already did that one.
Calyx.
But they have the gun. Marky has the gun. And she's... I can't remember the exact mechanics of this scene, but she's like not... She's not doing it. And then her face turns into a smiley face because she's got to die from not completing the dare. And Olivia lunges at her, grabs the gun. Olivia gets shot in the process in like the arm or something.
Yikes.
She makes eye contact with Demon Marky, Calyx, and says, "Calyx, truth or dare?" Because they are in the spot, the one spot where you're allowed to invite more people into the game for some reason. That has to happen in this church.
Okay.
And Calyx is like, I don't have to do that. And she's like, no. Yes, you do. Yes, no. You do.
Calyx, show your dick to everybody.
And Calyx picks truth. And she says, tell the truth. How do we make this game end?
And now here's where you can really get here's where truth or dare, because you could either say, tell us the truth, how do we end the game, or I dare you to end the mm-hmm. game. Would mm-hmm. have been nicer if you'd picked dare.
Yeah,
but yeah. we'll get there either way. I think
it would have been nice, because the truth is you can't. The only way it ends is when you and Marky die.
I mean, that sucks, but hey, at least you know,
at least we got an answer. Calyx disappears. Marky returns back to herself, is like, what's going on? What happened? Olivia grabs her phone and she's like, what's going on? What are you doing? And she says, I'm choosing us. And she gets on her live stream YouTube channel. All her followers get notification, live video. And she says, my name is Olivia or whatever. We've been playing this possessed game of truth or dare, and we're in Tijuana and it's making us kill people, and that's what happened with Giselle, and I'm so sorry to do this, but I have to ask you, truth or dare? And everyone watching the video gets little smiley faces. It's somehow worldwide, and she has just invited, I don't know, some amount of the whole population of the planet into this game of truth or dare.
Wow, she's got a very popular live stream.
Very popular live stream. And
she wasn't telling the truth before.
I know.
Really, that's full circle here.
Yes, so it's a comes back to, if your friends had to die or if the entire population had to die, which mm-hmm. would you choose? And maybe she wasn't lying in the beginning, and through this journey changed her mind.
Really strengthened her relationship with Marky.
Yeah. So.
And I guess, I mean, this is pretty shitty of her, won't lie, but it's going to take a lot. This might mean that everybody only has to do it once. You know? Because if it goes in the whole circle of all those people, the millions of people watching her live stream, then, you know, maybe it only comes to you once in your whole life before it makes it all the way back around.
Maybe.
And maybe it just asks you to show your penis to a room full of people. And it's right. like, you
and
know.
Then you're like, I'm one of those people that has to play truth or dare. People are getting out of shit left and right.
Ugh, I wish I could, but I'm one of those people that has to play truth or dare. It's my turn.
I would love to see you tonight, but I have to do truth or dare.
So. Do you think Calyx is stoked about this or pissed?
Probably stoked.
Yeah, stoked. He's more like, people. Oh my god, with.
More people.
He's like, I gotta call in more demons.
Sorry, is that the end of the movie?
Yeah, that's the end.
Okay. That's the end. Wait, does it actually say how many people are watching the live stream?
I'm
curious,
remember
what the number is.
No, but it like shows us people in different countries watching it.
So
I think
funny.
It's meant to imply that there's a lot of people watching. Kind of a fun ending.
That is kind of a fun ending.
Yeah, no, there were a few twists and turns in there, but I gotta say, you know, I just don't like it when these silly little movies have to be so sad.
There is some sad stuff. I guess I didn't brace us enough for that, but it's also so silly. I really laughed a lot.
It's really silly.
I like the end. I love Lucy Hale. I'll watch anything she does.
is she, where in the tooth bracelet equation does she fall? Does she get it? Does she receive it? Is she aware of it?
She's not aware of it. She's aware of it. She's aware of it, but she's not giving or receiving the tooth bracelet. And that happens in season like 6 or something. I mean, it's a deep cut. It's far in.
Okay.
But motivation to
absolutely mm-hmm. motivation. If it was up, I'm going to get it. If they put it in the pilot, I'd be like, well, I've seen everything I need to see here.
I've seen what I need to see. I'm not surprised that she was also in Riverdale, because that kind of has Riverdale vibes of
tooth bracelet.
A tooth bracelet would be in Riverdale. Yeah,
they would do that. Well, I had a great time, to be completely honest.
Me too. I had a great time. This was a fun one. I'm sorry it wasn't A Tale of Two Sisters, which we will be doing in the near future, which I suspect
will be.
Yeah, go get your DVDs. Or if you don't live in the US, I think it is streaming in the UK, in Europe, possibly everywhere but here.
Okay.
So that'll be coming, but I'm glad that this little snafu happened and made us have to do this movie, because I really had a good time. So thank you, patrons.
I had a great time.
Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons.
And thank you, listeners. We love you all so much. You're all our Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't make the connection.
Valentine's Day? Valentine's Day?
Nice, Henley.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. No, I was trying to think of like me doing a YouTube video.
Sign off. To our millions of followers.
To our millions of followers to tell them that they're our Valentine.
How about Sammy? Sammy, truth or dare?
Dare.
I dare you to end the podcast. Just this episode. Just this episode.
Okay, wait, I got a good voice to do it in. It's a sneaky demon Calyx voice. From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch, goodbye. And you know I'm smiling.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right, we love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.